Awesome. Okay, so last week this isn't going to be your typical Palm Sunday message, although in some ways it is, very much so. This is part two of last week, what I started last week, as what I just really sensed the Lord speak to me, because one of the questions I had to Father God was, I don't get this, I'm not tracking with what I read in Scripture about in the New Testament, particularly from Paul and also from you, Jesus, and others, about this whole thing of it's a privilege to suffer for you. I don't understand the word, why the word privilege is there. How is suffering a privilege? Because that I don't get. And this whole aspect of suffering and what it means and what it entails. It's important as we go into what, for the traditional church, they see this coming week as Holy Week, as this is the week where Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, and that's, you know, it's the whole, the persecution he endured, and the suffering, and then what it culminated at the, with his execution, brutal execution he experienced. And, you know, and rather than just talking about what he experienced, it's actually a strong message to us about the life we live and what we're called to when it comes to the whole aspect of suffering and how that fits into my life and how that fits into your life and how that makes sense. And so we started examining that last week. And last week I opened up by reading to you part of an article that challenged us to, instead of asking ourselves, what do I want out of life? Because that's typically what we, in the back of our minds, that question zips through, what do I want out of life? And we think of all the things we would like. And the author of this article challenged the reader to ask instead this question here: what pain am I willing to sustain in my life, in this life? And the writer said, because that question there actually is the question that defines who you are. That tells us who you are. And so last week we looked at, what does that say about Christ because of the pain he endured? Now, to understand what that means, what the author was talking about, it was this thing of, if there's something you desperately want in life, we generally are willing to put up with the stresses, and maybe there is some suffering entailed, but we're willing to put up with that to get that prize we want at the end of it, or whatever it is we're aiming for. And examples would be, think of the Olympic people who are in the Olympics, right? Look what they have to go through to get to where they are, right? They didn't end up qualifying for the Olympics simply by showing up one day. They were up early mornings, long days, right? You know, it's all that stuff, right, for them. You could think of the student who decides they want to go for a diploma or a degree, and they know what they're going to have to face. It's going to be the student debt. It's going to be the all-nighters at times, writing papers, exams, trying to get a job afterwards, but it's that pursuit to get that degree. They want that, so they're willing to go through that. Other examples I have, a person so in love with someone that they will vow to remain with him till death us do part, right? And you hear that with couples that are engaged. Climb the highest mountain for you, right? Until the mountain shows up, and then they want to negotiate. Or how about the parent, and parents know this, the parents that are literally willing, they will do anything for their kid to protect their kid from danger. Anything. They'll lay their life down, won't they? If you knew your child was going to be harmed by somebody, whoa, right? Like, watch out, right? That's something you want. You want the best for your child. Or another example: God longing for humanity to be one with Him, that He was willing to become human to experience what we experience in this life—the suffering, the pain—and death and then soundly defeating it. That's how God desperately wanted humanity with us. This is all God's initiative, to reach out to us, all of it. You know, Bill talked about Genesis, Adam and Eve, when they fell and they hid. And where is God? He's looking for them. Right? You see God's heart right from the beginning, wanting. Where are you? Where are you, my beloved? Where are you? What's happened? What's wrong? Right? And you see this from God. So the bigger question for us is, how desperate am I to experience a deep, intimate, and loving relationship with God? How desperate are you for that? How desperate? How desperate? What pain are you willing to sustain? What are you willing to go through so that you have that intimate, loving relationship with God? How much will you push through on that one? To give you some idea, if you go in the book of Acts, and the Acts, it's written by Luke, and it's almost like his second gospel, but it's the Acts of the Apostles, the early church as they pushed out. And when you come to Acts 4 and 5, Luke starts to tell the story of how the apostles went out, and there was miracles, there was healings taking place, people were becoming Christians, and the church was literally swelling. But it really ticked off the religious leaders of the Jewish leaders, and they had some legal clout because they had some of the apostles arrested. If you read in Acts 5, some of the apostles were arrested. They were brought into the Sanhedrin court. They were questioned about their activities, and they wanted to kill them. That's what they wanted to do: snuff them out. But there was some dialogue going on. They said probably not best to do that. And so what they did, what they agreed upon, is they ordered them to stop their proselytizing. Stop doing what you're doing. We're going to flog you, and then we're going to kick you out. And their response after they got flogged, and you know what flogging is, right? It's taking you out back, and we're going to whip you and teach you a lesson. Acts 5:41. The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. You've just been flogged, and your first response is, oh, you know, the fact that we're worthy enough to suffer for Jesus. Where does that come from? Like, seriously, where does that come from? I'd be like a whimpering little mass of flesh, right? Like, help me, what am I doing? Is this right? Did we do the right thing? And that's one form of the suffering that we sometimes experience, but there's another form of suffering we experience as well. And that form of suffering has to do with our struggle in our battle towards sin. It's that struggle we all experience. And there's suffering that's entailed in that. Let me expound on that a little further. Paul, again, he writes a letter to the Christians that are in Rome, and he wants to explain. And he's explaining to them the whole story, basically, of how everybody has fallen, and God is rescuing everybody, not just the Jewish people, but he's rescuing the Gentiles, everybody in the world. And then Paul, in chapter 7, Paul starts to talk about this struggle, inner struggle everybody has. And he looks at his own life and he says about the struggle he has. And basically, to paraphrase what Paul said, he says, the things I want to do, I don't. I don't do them. The things I don't want to do, I do them. And he goes, basically, he says, boy, I suck, right? He says, man, I'm just, it's this thing in me. I know what I want to do, but I don't do it. I don't know what's going on. And then there's in the New Living Translation, it says that Paul, he said to them, he says, I've discovered this principle in life. And maybe if you can relate to this. This is what Paul said. When I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. You know that one? Or are we more saintly than Paul? But that was Paul's struggle. And there's where you see the struggle of the inbreaking of the kingdom. Jesus brought the kingdom, right? But it's not fully here, and we have that struggle that goes on. We want to do what's right, but boy, there's this other thing that's going on that we do the opposite of what we really want to do. And you got to ask, what's going on? Well, basically, so Paul, he works through in Romans 7 this struggle with sin. He begins in chapter 8 with, hey, there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ, because Christ has, it's the work Christ has done. That's why we're not condemned. And so Paul then in chapter 8, he starts to talk about, you have a choice who you're going to follow. Either you can follow your sinful nature, that stuff that wants to pull you to do the wrong stuff, or you can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have a choice who we're going to which pull we're going to follow. You feel pulled this way, you feel pulled that way. Which one you're going to follow? And that's what Paul begins to talk about. And he's pointing, and what he's leading up to with the Christians there who are reading his letter is that we all want to get to the resurrection. We want to jump there right away. We just want to leave out that suffering part. We want to leave out that difficult. We don't want the death. That's why I think sometimes, I know for myself, back in the 70s when the second coming, everybody was thinking, I think 1976 was the year at one point that Jesus was coming back. But I think part of us, the reason we want the second coming to happen, so we can sidestep the death part, right? We just want to, we don't want to have to go through this part. But do you realize in order to experience resurrection, there has to be death? How badly do you want resurrection? Want it real bad? First, you want to experience resurrection? You're going to have to die. So what's the good news, Scott? Resurrection is the good news, right? Resurrection is the good news. And Paul says something, he reminds them, because they're experiencing suffering, not only the persecution, but their struggle with sin. And there's this battle that's going on, this struggling, this suffering. And Paul says here in the 17th verse of Romans 8, he says, but if we are to share his glory, that's the prize, if we are to share the prize, we must also share his suffering. We must share his suffering. And the question becomes, what pain are you willing to sustain? What pain? So how do we suffer? Here's how you suffer. My ego suffers every time I'm faced with temptation and I say no. My ego suffers. Just, I want to pause here. When you start to understand that the pain we sustain defines who you are, when you grasp that, everything will start to click, 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 click into place for you. Some of Jesus' words will make sense, because here's this whole thing with the ego and the temptation. You know, we get drawn to, tempted to do something, and you say no to it. That's like a death to the ego almost. Jesus' words to his disciples, that if you want to follow me, deny your ego, take up your cross, bear the suffering, follow me then. Saying no. But there's a suffering that goes on when I say no to my ego. My selfishness suffers every time I choose you over me. Because basically, you and I are selfish. No, yeah, we are. We are, like, when you get down to it, I want what I want when I want it, right? I want what's good for me. Why do you think we have marital problems? spouses want what they want. I'm not happy. I'm not. The vow is just whoosh, gone. They forget the vows totally, right? They forget that they said, you know, richer for poor, sickness and in health, right? Grumpy or happy, I'll take you, right? And all of a sudden, the other flip side of the coin flips, and they go, I don't want that. It's not what I bargained for. My desires suffer every time I practice self-restraint and self-discipline. Those are words we need to bring back to life. Seriously. Discipline, self-discipline, self-restraint, very godly, very kingdom, and how we need to be, and what we need to be practicing and teaching our kids and our youth. It's okay to restrain yourself. It's okay to discipline yourself. It's healthy. It's actually good for you. But my desires suffer when I do that. Because then I don't buy into what's always been told, you know, just do whatever makes you happy, right? Go for it. My body suffers every time it fights a sickness or disease. If you've ever been sick, that's all of us. You know what you're like, how wimpy you get when you get the flu or a cold, right? Right, you just want to crawl into bed. Right? We all know that. We feel, but it's that battling, it's that reality, right? We want the resurrection, but our bodies are otherwise. And with every one of those experiences, I remind myself of the prize I'm running for. I'm going for, I'm going after. It's the prize I want. That's why I let my ego suffer. That's why I let my desires suffer. That's why I let selfishness suffer. Because it has to, because I want that prize. That's what I want. And by the way, the prize isn't heaven. It's not heaven. No. You know those words Paul used? It was in 2 Corinthians, I believe, where he said, absent from the body is present in heaven. No, he didn't say that, did he? He didn't say present in heaven, present with the Lord. If you pay attention to the writers and how they write, and even pay attention to Jesus, what he has to say, the goal, the prize is this oneness with Jesus, with my Lord. There's this desire. Paul has this hungry desire, I want to be with the Lord, be with Jesus. That's where I want to be. You read John 17, in the Gospel of John 17, Jesus' prayer. Father, I pray what? That they will be in heaven? No. Because we have a picture of heaven, that heaven is Shangri-La. And maybe your Shangri-La has palm trees, maybe mine has pines, I don't know. We have different pictures of Shangri-La, and we think that's heaven. It has nothing to do with the weather, guys. It has everything to do with that we want to be connected to Jesus because of his love for us and our love for him. I could be, you know what? You know what heaven is? Wherever Jesus is. Jesus is there. That's what you read from the Paul and all the apostles. Where's heaven? Where's Jesus? That's heaven. If Jesus is in the desert, that's heaven. That's heaven. That's the passion you see as you read from the different writers. That's what's driving them. And so because the prize is life with him, we keep our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is our champion. He's the dude that, as human, went through it, ran the race, suffered, experienced, went through death, went through the whole thing that's before us, and has come out and soundly defeated it. He's our champion. We keep our eyes on him. And we remind ourselves all the time why we're doing what we're doing. Remind ourselves. And I shared this passage with you last week, but it's a passage worth repeating because it sums up this whole thing of what pain are you willing to sustain, and the pain that Christ was willing to sustain, and the pain that past saints and the apostles and different people have sustained. There's one reason, and it's this one in Hebrews here, where the writer says, therefore, this is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, who are the witnesses? It's the people who have run this already. They've gone through it. And they're telling you, as they watch you live your life right now today in 2017, they're telling you, stay the course, push through, keep your eyes on the prize, because it's worth it. It's worth it. Since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. It's a suffering, right? And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And this is where what Jesus pushed through. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. That's what we aim for. That's what we're going for. That's why we push through. That's why we persevere. And Paul says it's worth it. The writer of Hebrews says it's worth it. Peter says it's worth it. John says it's worth it. Jesus saying, guys, this is what I want you with me. Run this. In a couple months from now, I get to do what a lot of people look at me and go, why do you do that for? Right? That's what they do. But I do the tough mutter, and you guys know that. And let me tell you a little bit why I do that. First of all, I like goals, right? But there is something about doing that with other people that you push through. You meet these challenges, these obstacles. You face your fears, because they do rattle your fears. But you push through. You get sore and achy. Sometimes I've been injured a few times, and you get filthy and dirty and right everything, but you do it together. And there's something about that. At the end of it, you know what I get? You know what you get? So you pay $200 to run through this, beat yourself up, and they give you a T-shirt, which you can probably buy on Kijiji for like $5, right? But it's just that you get to wear that T-shirt that says you're a finisher, right? That you finished it. And they give you a headband. You can probably get that for $3 on Kijiji or somewhere. And yeah, they give you a beer as well. Ugh, whatever. So why do you do it? Because that's, surely you don't do it for that, do you? Not at all. No, that's not why I do it. I do it because there's something about the camaraderie that exists. There's something about, though, and I can't articulate it well enough. I'm sure you've all experienced this at some point in your life. But there's something about being with others who have accomplished a goal, and you look at each other and you go, we've done that together. And you see somebody wearing that and you go, oh, you've been through this. And it's like you have those war stories, right? Right? But there's something we've done together. We've done together. Let me tell you something. As silly as it may sound, at the beginning, when you start off on the race, they gather about 200 or 300 people, the first wave that they send them out in waves, and they gather, and a guy will come right in the middle, and will talk, and it's almost like reminding us what we're doing, why we're doing it, that this isn't a race, that we look around, we'll help each other during the next 4 hours as we do this, and we do this together. You know, it's a little pep thing. But there's something about my, with that, my heart swells, and it's like, I'm with these, I'm part of them. I'm part of them. I'm actually, I can wear this, I can wear this stuff, I can do it, I can run. And there's something about, as weird as this may sound, there's something about, we'll get hurt together, you know? Right? We understand it, but it's something like, because we can achieve this, because we can push through, it's like it's worth it. And the crazy thing is you go through it and you are sore and you are cold. And the next day, it's like you're just like, you know, right? But I sign up again. And it's like, why? Why would you sign up again? Look at yourself. But there's something that is there. And I want to challenge each and every person. When the disciples in Acts 5 said, came out from after their time in the Sanhedrin court, and they were flogged in order not to preach and do any of their stuff, and they said, they rejoiced and they counted them that they were worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. I am sure they sensed a similar thing that goes through when, look at what we're, look at this, they know their goal, they know what they're pressing in for, they want that oneness with Jesus, with God the Father, they want that. And they do it, and it's like, together we'll do this thing. We're going to push through because we're so hungry for that. And they push through, and I'm sure of it, I'm sure. They're desperate for it. Look, I'm a follower of Christ. I'll tell you why I'm a... And have you ever asked yourself, why do you follow Jesus? Why? Why do you? Think about that. Why do you? Why? I thought about that. Why do I follow? You know why? There's one thing for me. Why? I know he loves me. I am loved. There's something in my heart that needs to connect with someone, with God, who is greater than anything. And I know that the love is infinite, and it's something that no one or no thing can even come close to offering me. It's something my heart desires and needs, and I want to be with my Savior. I want to be with Jesus. I want that. I can't let that one go. Other stuff I can let go, I can't let that go. I can't let that go. That's why Paul says, I actually have a team verse for our Vineyard Dirty Dogs. And the team verse is from 1 Corinthians 9:25-27, where Paul says, he compares himself to training for an athlete, like an athlete, and he beats his body, right? Not, and that's figuratively speaking, but he says he beats his body to train it so that he will, everything, how he lives, he will honor God. That's why he does what he does. That's why he suffers what he suffers, because he wants that prize, and that prize for Paul is, I want Jesus. That's what I want. That's what I'm going for. And the question is for all of us, are you in? You in? That's what you got to answer. Are you in? And you don't have to answer, that's not answering me or answering anybody else. It's, are you in? Because if you're in, it's awesome. But it hurts at times. It hurts. It really hurts. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Like, it's worth it. It's, the suffering and the pain is worth it. It is. Why? I don't know. It just is. Because I want to get to the point where I'm with, like those apostles who rejoiced counting that they were counted worthy to suffer. I want to get to that point. I want to get to that point. I want to get, and you know who my heroes are, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, in Daniel's book. They're my top heroes. How they could stand before Nebuchadnezzar and tell Nebuchadnezzar, just want you to know, our God can rescue us. They can save us from the fire you want to throw us into. But we want to serve notice on you, Sir King, that even if he doesn't, we're not bowing. It's like, see, because there was something they wanted far greater than what Nebuchadnezzar was threatening them with wasn't going to dissuade them. No, we want that. So whether he does or doesn't matter. We're not giving up. Not giving up. So are you in? And that's the question you have to ask. That's the question. And you get to sign up. And you sign up again. And you sign up again. Maybe you haven't signed up in a long time. Question is, will you sign up now? Will you sign up right now? Right now. Let's close. But for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorned its shame. And now he sits where? The right hand of the Father. And he says to all of us, run the race. Run it. Run it. Run that race. Let's stand. We're going to close off in prayer. I think you need to respond somehow today to that question, are you in? Seriously, you need to respond. You can walk away, right? It's like showing up at the race or whatever and going, I'll think about it. I didn't know suffering was part of the deal. It's part of the deal, guys. And that's not the reason why we do what we do. It's just, it's part of the deal. Part of life. So part it is. But the good thing is Jesus says, I'll be with you right to the very end. Why? Because he's been there right to the very end and he knows how it ends. That's what's coming next Sunday, right? Know how it ends. So Father, Lord, we just Father, would you magnify the prize for us? When we wake up in the morning, Lord, would you cause that to be the first thing on our minds, on our hearts, Lord, the prize that's there as we go about our day. Lord, help us to be aware when we're at our workplace and there's a temptation that comes along, whatever that temptation is, Lord, to just think of that word, the prize. Is it worth forgoing the prize? Lord, when our selfishness wants to creep in and say, no, you deserve this. And we can say, we look at the prize and we go, no. nothing I could want is greater than being one with Jesus, being at home with Jesus. Lord, when desires overtake us, Lord, help us to have the strength. Would you, Holy Spirit, would you come and empower us, Lord, to be able to restrain, to practice self-restraint, self-discipline. Lord, when our bodies get ravaged by disease, Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on the prize. Focused on the prize. So, Father, thank you. If we could have ministry team come up. Some of you may need to come up and just, even you don't even have to be prayed for, but maybe it's just coming forward to say, I'm signing back up. I'm re-signing again. Sign back up. I know there's pain and suffering, but I'm signing back up. I know that's just, but I want to sign up because I want that prize. I want that prize. I want that prize. Think of the writers, guys. Every writer, they were impassioned by the prize they were after. When Peter wrote his two little letters, his plea to the Christians that he was writing to was,
Look, you're going to face some suffering. You're going to face some persecution. As long as it's for suffering for Christ, as long as you're doing it for that, it's good. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't get your eyes off. Keep them focused. I want you to hear. I want you to, right now, I want you to think of your late relatives who are followers of Christ. They are one part of that big throng of people who are looking down at you right now, and they're saying, don't give up. Keep going. It's worth it. We're here. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. If you want prayer for healing of something, you're ailing, you're struggling with a disease, or you're struggling with an injury or something like that, Jesus can heal. And you can come up and we'll pray. We'll invite the Holy Spirit to come pray to bring healing. You want to sign back up? Come up. And just coming forward saying, I'm signing up. I'm signing up again. And if you've never signed up and you're just on the sidelines wondering and you're thinking, oh, that's what I want. That's what I need. And you can sign up. You can sign up today. Sign up. There's nothing like it, guys. There is nothing like it. The reason we come back week after week here is because we're signing up every time. We can't get away from the love the Father has for us, and we can't get away from loving the Father. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So I'll just close off the service. If you need to go, you can go. Bless you. Bless your day. For those who want prayer, the front's open. Chris will just be continuing to play here. And so may you go in the knowledge that you are deeply loved by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May you go in the knowledge that you are kept by the Godhead, by the three in one. You are kept and you are preserved for that day when we will gather around the throne. And our eyes won't, we won't, it's not about the place we're in, it's about who we're with. So I bless you with that. Go in the joy of the Lord.